It's now time for the crime report, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, it's being sponsored, of course, by the Crime Stoppers, Suffolk County, 1-800-220-TIP. That's 1-800-220-8477. All calls are kept confidential, and a monetary reward issued for information that will lead to an arrest. Joe Jacqueline, of course, retired sergeant, NYPD, former commanding officer of the Bronx Cold Case Squad. He's a current adjunct professor at John Jay College. And an author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function of the Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. And, of course, a very highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the most notable Department Medal of Valor. We say a very good morning to the Sarge. Joseph, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
All is good, my friend. All is good. You know, the talk of the week, I think, Joe, has been about gun violence. You know, Joe Biden did one of these town halls in Cincinnati the other night, just an absolute clown show, because he lied. You know, Don Lemon actually asked him a legitimate question about defunding police, first question legitimate of his career, I think. But in essence, you know, it was Biden who then turned to the audience, because Lemon had, you know, pretty much intimated the fact that, you know, listen, it's about many calling out the funding of the police, calling Republicans liars, turned to the audience, said that they're lying. You know, Joe Biden, that whispery type voice. But in essence, you know, I look at the numbers, and I saw something before I came on the air this morning regarding Chicago, 1,800-plus shootings, up 9% from last year at this time. I mean, it's like every weekend, just the other night in D.C., right on a main street there, a shooting took place. We've seen shootings in our neck of the woods. Here on Long Island, we're seeing some escalations of that. And all anybody wants to talk about from that administration, you know, Merrick Garland is going to do something today, the AG, regarding illegal guns. And really, everybody's mixing up the crux of the problems here. Not only bail reform, Joe, but, you know, we talk about here in New York City, the anti-corruption unit taking 600 off the streets. You know, when are people going to recognize the core of the problem here that we're seeing all over the country? And that's one of the biggest issues right now, and it's being failed to see it, really. A lot of people are just not recognizing the problem that exists, and it's right in front of everybody.
Well, I think most people recognize this. It's just that the politicians that put all these things in play don't want to admit that they were wrong, and it's costing people lives. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with here. So part of leadership is that when you make a mistake, you have to own up to it and say, listen, we have to change course. We tried something, it didn't work, or we made a mistake. I mean, listen, out of Albany, this whole bail reform law and everything like that, they're not touting it as a success, right? Nobody, none of the architects are out there screaming at the pulpit saying, hey, listen, look what we did. Look at all this great stuff that's going on. It's not. So the issue that comes down to is that there needed to be changes to the law. We brought it up to the fact a year ago what was happening to try to stem the tide of violence, but nobody listened, right? Nobody listened to us or anybody else that, you know what, you guys made a mistake, you got to fix it. So the issue that comes down to is that our politicians have to step up and take their leadership role and make some changes to the fact that they already did that. We're not saying that all the reforms are bad. We're just saying that some of the things need to be changed, and they need to be changed yesterday, right? The discovery bit, the not giving judges the power to be able to use somebody's history as a reason to hold them. I mean, those are two major things that need to be done. But yes, I mean, you have Bill de Blasio and removing the anti-crime unit and everything like that. I know they blame Shea for that, but you know that came from the mayor. You know, the issue that you're dealing with here is you have, and nobody really wants to talk about this, you have defense attorneys parading around as district attorneys, where you're supposed to be protecting the victim's rights, but they're protecting suspects' rights instead. So this is what we're dealing with here on a grand scale, not just in New York City, on Long Island too, but we're all across the country. If you look at where all the big hot spots are, they all have the same kind of DA, San Francisco, Chicago, St. Louis, Baltimore. You're dealing with the same kind of behavior, and the violence has just escalated on top of it. We're seeing record numbers of homicides already in places like Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, and nobody wants to do anything about it.
You know, Joe, I always hate to get political on things, but this one is political. It's blue states, you know, and you know, the surge in the violence all around the country. Now you have A.G. Garland, Merrick Garland, with the Justice Department and stating they're going to crack down on the gun trafficking. He said, you know, that'll be part of kind of a broader effort against gun violence, including funding community intervention programs. So, you know, when I hear all this stuff and, you know, the Justice Department launching strike forces against gun violence, you know, Chicago, New York City, D.C., L.A., San Francisco. Listen, these are all blue-run areas, okay? Illinois, Chicago. Look at Chicago. I mean, it is unbelievable what's going on there. And, you know, all these experts, you know, they say a number of potential causes for the spike includes the pandemic, economic worries, large gatherings taking place after the many months of lockdowns. But nobody is citing the obvious to me, and that is embracing our men and women in blue all across the land. You know, when they're talking about defunding police, that's what it is, folks. And when you pull cops off the street, this is why you have these spikes. When you give judges less power to do their job, this is why there are spikes in crimes, because those folks are being let out on the streets again, Joe. So all of this stuff, they are factors in the equation of why we are seeing these spikes. And I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of confidence. We need to get de Blasio the hell out of office. If it's Eric Adams' term, let him come in and let him clean it up, because it's a mess. But these are blue-run states. You know, you look at Detroit, you look at Philadelphia, you look at Chicago, you look at Seattle, you look at Portland, you look at San Fran, you look at L.A. These are all blue-run states, you know? And listen, until we fix this thing, it's never going to change. And that's part of the problem. You got to get these individuals out of office. You must, if things are going to change. And I don't have a lot of confidence, I'll tell you right now, Joe.
No, I don't have any confidence either. And you forgot Minneapolis, right? The center of the police movement that is struggling mightily. And you know what? And finally now we're starting to see articles about police officers retiring in droves, just leaving, saying, forget about this. There are some critical shortages in major cities that already have problems. One of them is New Orleans. One of them is Chicago. Baltimore, they had 7 cops, I think I was reading in one of the news articles, 7 cops for an entire night shift for the city of Baltimore. I mean, are you kidding me? When are people going? And now, what is every politician scrambling to do? They're trying to hire more cops. So they ran with the defund the police movement as a bandwagon political move to get garner votes from radicals, basically. And now you're dealing with a situation where cops are just leaving in droves, and you have nobody to run the streets. And who's running the streets? It's the criminals. The ATVs are all over the place. The motorcycles, the dirt bikes, and people are getting shot. Even in New York City, right? We saw 2 or 3 homicides in the last couple of weeks where people were riding up on scooters on people and shooting them and on ATVs. I mean, this is like, it's total lawlessness in some locations.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, you mentioned 3 states there, you know, run by Larry Hogan, Tim Walz, John Bel Edwards. You know, look at Minneapolis. I mean, come on, Minnesota. It is unbelievable what is going on there. And what are they going to have? Who's going to run the city? Who's going to keep people safe there? You know, they want to completely wipe away a police. Can you imagine this? I mean, it's really unbelievable. Listen, we talk about this stuff, but, you know, you look at this stuff on TV, and you see all these areas that are being affected, and you can't even keep people safe. And that's the biggest problem. You know, I worry now when my wife goes to work early in the morning. I worry when my kids are out and about now. You know, I never really had to do this. Now I worry because of the violence that's out there. And I don't even know what the answer is anymore. Joe Jacklone, the crime report. Joe, what's your take on all the stuff with the opioids? You got settlements, $1.1 billion. The county's Nassau subject will be paid over an 18-year period. You got an ongoing deal happening right now in Central Islip, ongoing trial there. So the problem, it's being attacked, long time coming, with the abuse and everything else from some of these pharmaceutical companies. But what's been your assessment overall?
Well, I mean, listen, I know Nassau's got $200 million and Suffolk got $200 million for helping out, you know, with their let's hope that they use the money for what it's intended to, right? We've seen stuff like this before where the money is supposed to be allocated for something that ends up somewhere else. So I hope they have some strict rules about how this money is spent and what they do with it, and it's not it goes to the people that really need it and get them to rehab and try to get them off this stuff. It's nearly impossible. It's a battle constantly to get people off these opioids, and it's just it's a terrible, devastating addiction. And one of the things that we need to do is, fine, we're going to sue companies and stuff like that. Great, let's just make sure we use these billions of dollars that we're getting and allocate them the right way. I'd like to see that plan. Right? Nobody's talking about the plan about what we're going to do with the money.
Listen, there's going to be some, you know, prevention and type programs in place. I think you got to have a massive marketing campaign. Just like we had in the 80s, you know, Nancy Reagan, just say no. You got to educate these kids. It starts when they're young. You know, you got to really get out there. So, you know, you hopefully you have confidence that this money will be put to good use, you know. I mean, it's going to be a span of years to see this money, you know, with Nassau County getting about $85 million or whatever it is, and Suffolk somewhere between 85 and 105, somewhere around there. But, you know, you hope these dollars are going to be put to good use. Joe Jacklin, a couple more here, the crime report. Joe, federal authorities now, I guess, are heading toward a plea deal with one of the NYPD officers from Long Island. He was indicted in May. The charges, remember this story where they took thousands of dollars in bribes, part of a scheme to corruptly direct damaged cars to a tow truck company there. So, interesting now regarding this plea deal, as we spoke about this before regarding three officers in general here.
Yeah, now this is, remember we spoke about this. These are the kind of things that just, yeah, get you angry as, you know, as any cop or former cop. Like, what are you doing in this? Come on. And like I said, they are supposed to have fixed this problem with the way accidents were doled out a long time ago, and it seems to be that the system, either they got away from it or it's broken. So they need to go back and fix it to make sure that this kind of behavior doesn't happen again. It's you know, you kind of just shake your head and say, what are you guys doing? You know, and you know what? They're taking a plea deal. You know, listen, it just annoys me when I see cops do this stuff. It just makes the job 100 times harder, and it just gives the haters of the world just to point your fingers and say, look what they're doing, you know, and it's absolutely outrageous.
Completely outrageous, and you just wonder who's watching the store here. Let's go to a couple of more here. You know, MS-13 has been in the news during the week. Attorneys for this Brentwood guy was found guilty of murder. Again, an alleged gang beating. And asking a judge to set aside the conviction because I guess the former prosecutor tried the case, failed to turn over key evidence to the defense. So you're keeping an eye on that. But this was a murder that was committed in 2013, alleged gang beating, that left an individual dead outside a pool hall. But you have had, this was the Glenn Kurzrock deal. Joe, who was, you know, the prosecutor in the case, who was forced to resign a few years ago. Sloppy work. Caught withholding evidence from the defense in another case. He had his license suspended for a couple of years, that whole deal. We spoke about that. But we are seeing these cases now, and some of these individuals brought to justice. And even during the week, there was a case in Uniondale where they found some skeletal remains. So this isn't over at all, Joe. You know, as these guys get their sentences and everything else, and then you have this type of deal happening in Uniondale during the week, you know, you wonder, you know, how much is out there still, you know?
Well, they're still out there, as we can assure you, everybody, of that, unfortunately. You know, the feds have been picking them apart, and many of the cases that have been in the news, like you said, have been older cases, and the feds have been taking these cases and putting these guys going away for 25 years. And cases when you have prosecutorial misconduct you're dealing with, I mean, this guy has just been, he's been wreaking havoc all over Suffolk County with his bad behavior. And listen, people are going to end up walking, and it somehow already has. And it's just going to be anytime a prosecutor withholds evidence in violation of the Brady rule, I don't understand how this stuff happens. Where's the supervision, too? That's what I want to know. Like, where are the people going through the cases to make sure that everything's been done done right, and you can't afford to have mistakes like that or intentional things, for sure.
No question about it. You know, the shootings are becoming more brazen in and around not only the country, even in our area. But, you know, there was a case earlier in the week, and now you have three guys facing weapons charges. There was an argument. In a Mercedes-Benz has spilled into the parking lot, Joe, of a supermarket, Cinema Riches it was. Two of those occupants of the vehicle traded gunshots. One of the shooters hospitalized critical condition. The other shot and wounded. I mean, this is an ongoing situation. But this is what police are up against now. But this took place in a parking lot right in Cinema Riches. And some of this stuff is happening in broad daylight. You know, this was 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. I mean, this is unbelievable. But this is what's happening right now. This was in the parking lot of the Lidl Food Market on Montauk Highway. This is unreal. But this is what's happening right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're hearing about places that we never really heard about. So you have this shooting, you had the Port Jefferson a couple times, you have some issues that are just happening. And if you recall, Jay, we spoke about this. We said that the gun violence in New York City, those guns make their way out to the island. It's as simple as that. So as law enforcement is unable to do things in New York City, all of the drugs and guns and everything that flows through New York City to Long Island, and we said that we would see violence, and we have, right? So last year they had a huge surge in murders in New York, in both Nassau and Suffolk, excuse me, and now we're still seeing some shootings and stuff. Hey, listen, I don't remember hearing a lot of these stories when I was a kid on Long Island. I really don't. But we're hearing them now. They're becoming like a monthly type of event, which is just alarming, and we need to get a hold of this, and they need to fix it, because if not, it's only going to get worse.
And you look at, even in Suffolk County, and we always would talk about, Joe, Suffolk County, you know, they have really corralled this stuff, but even from last weekend, you had two fatal late-night shootings that took place in the county. One was outside a home in West Babylon. That was Saturday night. The other one, where was the other? The other one was in Amityville. You know, I mean, it's becoming a common occurrence, you know, 3 in the morning, Sunday, or whatever it was. And it was the third shooting in that neighborhood in this month of July alone. So you can see this escalation now is taking place, and these weekends now are becoming, you know, quite violent. You know, we talk about violence around the country and everything else, and you and I have spoken over the years. You know, Long Island has a pretty good handle on things, but now it's out of control. You know, now it's spilling over into Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County. So last week, it was not a good weekend here.
No, it's not. And it's just, like I said, it seems to be every week that we've been talking about this, but it's just, we don't hear the end of these stories, if you notice, too. You have a couple of things. I mean, this one ended in an arrest, which is great, but a lot of times we don't hear what happens with these shootings. And I know the police are investigating, and sometimes these things take a long time, but sometimes we never hear anything about it, or we don't hear where the guns come from, or we don't hear any, nobody in the media is asking these kinds of questions at these press conferences that they're having, because we need to get down to the crux about where these guns are coming from, who's involved, are there any gangs involved in this issue? Is this just people arguing in the parking lot? They need to get down to the crux of it, too. Try to find out what the actual problem is. So if this guy just started an argument, they had nothing to do with it, and he had the shooting, I mean, those are really difficult to prevent. But when you have organized crime things like we've seen with MS-13, then we can, you know, adjust these our way of going about business in regards to law enforcement, and maybe there's a bigger problem, and maybe we need that federal task force to look at it.
I saved the best for last because, you know, listen, when all else fails, I turn to the Sarge, and you have a 20-year brilliant career, NYPD, cold case squad, the whole deal. But when it comes to a 1,500-pound bull, you know, and nobody could figure it out as far as how to corral him. Now, listen, this bull is not dumb, okay? He was headed to the slaughterhouse, you know, a Muslim ritual upon him. He thought better, wanted to run away, and now he's going to end up in a sanctuary. Thank goodness. Hopefully they can corral him unscathed. But if Joe Jacqueline was on the scene leading the charge, and you have corralled many a thug, sir, in your career, how would you wrap your hands around a bull of this name? Barney the Bull, I might add. So grain has not worked. A cow in heat has not worked. How would the Sarge go about his business to put an end to this misery?
I would be using a dart gun at this point and put him asleep and let's get this over with, right? So You know, I mean, listen, they tried all the other avenues, and then you just have to just, you know, put them to sleep. That's the only thing. I mean, this thing is, God forbid this thing gets, imagine if this thing starts running around neighborhoods and stuff like that. I mean, you would have some serious problems on you. Just watch those, I guess we're going to have our own little version of Spain out there, just trying to figure it out.
I'll tell you. They say we get the guys from Merrill Lynch back in the old days. Remember that whole thing?
There you go.
Joe Jacklin, Crime Report, Southern Crime Stoppers, 1-800-220-TIPS. Sir, have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk.
You as well. Take care.